Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memories. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word, we ask for the Holy Spirit to come forth. Come and give us strength, Father, to teach this word in truth and to bring unto others the gospel, Father, that will lead them unto the Lord Jesus Christ, so that none be lost and all can be saved. My Father, be with us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 13th chapter here of Luke. So there was present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? 3. He said, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. We've got a lot today living in this world that believes that they are all right, that they are sinning every day because they have never really repented. And then we have some that did repent, but instead of going forward to become that child of God, they went back. And now they need to repent. We've got churches out there that have done the same thing. They have let Satan in. He's come in with a weak, watered-down version of the way that those of this world looks at things and teaching contrary to a lot of this word of Almighty God. You say, Pastor, no, that couldn't be. Oh, yes, it can be. And we're going to, as we go through, especially when we get into the New Testament, where we are to be covered by the blood of Jesus, and that we're living under grace and not under law, you're going to be hearing a lot of things that you have been thought contrary to. God's word, not mine, but his. Now, 6. He's going to give them a parable now of the barren fig tree. Because he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. 7. Then said he unto the dresser, or the keeper of the vineyard, of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why clumbereth it the ground? In other words, what he's telling him, he's letting him know, I've come 3 years to get fruit off this tree, and it hasn't bore any. And he's telling him, cut it down. He says, because why mess up this area with it? Because that area could be used for something better. And verse 8. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. In other words, he's going to fertilize it. And if it bear well, and it's not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. 14. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. In other words, she was way stooped over. And couldn't straighten up. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities. No long drawed out anything. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work, and then therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. This one's against Jesus, because he's healed here on the Sabbath day. and trying to tell Jesus how to do it, how to work. 15. The Lord then answered him and said, "Thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" He's letting them know that what he's done is right. Now 17. When he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. You see, this word of God can help straighten out the thinking and the belief of a lot of mankind that is believing things that are contrary to the Word of God and contrary to the way they should be living, that are not. Now, 18. Then said he, "Unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it?" 19. "It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden. And it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it." He's speaking about this mustard seed because it is the smallest, the least of all seeds. But yet, when it grows into a tree big enough that the fowl of the air can come and sit and all in its branches. Now, and again he said, "Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened." All of us that have grown up, people would bake bread and stuff that way, biscuits and all. We know that you can stir up your flour and stuff and then put in a little yeast and stir in good and let set for a little bit, and all of it will become leaven. And then when you roll out your dough and you cut your biscuits, they will raise. Or if you're baking a cake, once you get everything stirred up, after you put the leaven in it, that cake will raise. But if there is no leaven in it, nowadays, like I say, we talk about yeast. If there is none in it, it's not going to raise. And this is what the Lord is talking about here. And you see, when something comes in to your group, whether it be right or wrong, once it is there a while and continues to be so, then it will become accepted. And if it's wrong, then that group is going to have the wrong teaching and not be right with God. But if it's good, then that group will raise to the point of being accepted by God and doing the work that he will call upon them to do and bear the fruit for him that they should be bringing in. Now, 22. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Many will seek to enter in, but shall not be able. Because you see, they are among that group that has not been sitting under the truth of God's word. Now, 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. His word is letting you know that if you're not right, you're not going to get in. 26. Now, then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers. Pardon me. All you workers of iniquity. You've heard me tell you that many times about going to him, not ready. And what you would hear him say to you. Now, pardon me, 28. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye and you yourselves thrust out. He's letting us know that we're going to weep. We're going to cry. And he says, gnashing of teeth. We're going to be miserable when we see them in, and yet we cannot enter in. Now, 29. And they shall come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are at last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Depending on how you live your life. We know that our son that's going to go in that has done an awful lot for the Lord, a lot more than we have, that will, as we call it, promoted into higher positions and receive more awards than we will. Now, 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, see out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. They're telling now, they want him to leave. Now they're telling to get out or Herod's going to kill him. 32. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox. Uh-oh. He tells him to go and tell Herod. He called him a fox. Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do curse. I do curses today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. He's speaking now about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. 33. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. He goes on here in 34. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and you would not. In other words, he's letting them know, I have been doing all that I was sent here to do, teaching and telling you about the change you need to be making, and yet you would not do it. 35. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He's letting them know just exactly how they stand. You know, the Lord God doesn't play. He doesn't play about the Word of God, as a lot of us do, because it's nothing to play with. It is life and death. It's life if we live it, and it will mean a spiritual death if we don't. In other words, it's not the kind of death that we will quit to exist, but it's the death to where we will be separated from the Lord, our God. And as the Word tells us, we'll eventually wind up in that lake of fire. Now, not too awful long. We can probably get through yet. But we'll get where the Lord takes us. Here in 14, verse 1, Jesus is getting ready to heal again. It says, and it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? He's asking them about what they think, because he's going to do what he wants to do. But he is asking them what they think. Now, and they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? You see, he's asking them that question. Now, and they could not answer him. They could have, but they wouldn't. Because they are seeking to get something against him. So they're not going to agree with him, and yet they're afraid right now to disagree with him. They could not answer him again to these things. 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out of the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, set not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bid thee, and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. You know, this is letting us know not to think more highly of ourselves than we should, and to leave pride alone. Something we don't want. Right. Now. 10. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. Then when he that bid thee come, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. If you are to be exalted in something, let it be because the Lord God did it, not because you've done it yourself. Now, 11. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. In other words, he shall be brought low. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. There in that letter, it's kind of unique, but it really sums up Jesus' point. Now, 12. Then said he also to him that bid him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and in recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Let us know just how things is to work. Now, and when, really? 15. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and fed many, and sent his servants at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Certain excuses which we see and have a whole lot of today going on. Of why we can't be in the services of Almighty God and in these Bible studies. Now, 19. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another excuse. 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came, showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. That's why we have to work and teach this word of Almighty God. You see, we are servants. We're brothers of Christ, but we're servants unto the Lord God also. Now, 24. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. They are never going to make it. And those today that are walking in the ways of this world, that's out here walking in darkness, and they have no light of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life, will never make heaven their home, but they will make that lake of fire. 25. There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Man, think about that. What kind of shape are you in? How much of your family are you letting come between you and Almighty God? He gives you warning right there. We're not to let nothing or no one come between us and him. 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Yes, we have crosses to bear. Because when we teach the word of God, we will be laughed at, we will be rejected, we will be mocked. And there are places already in the world where they are jailed and even killed. And that's not too far away here in our land. They've already done away. Our government has done away with the name of Jesus. They don't want you praying and ending your prayer in Jesus' name. They have taken that away from our military chaplains. Think about it. Now, For which of you intending to build a tower setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Have you done the things you need to do? And do you understand the cost it can cost you for walking with him? Now, 29. Least happily, after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. There's no halfway measure. Now 30, saying this man began to build and was not able to finish. Once you start down that straight and narrow way, you don't turn back. You continue to keep on going because you are to finish your work here on this earth. Now, 31. Or what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Quite difference in size, isn't it? Because you want to really figure out how could I win this? Now, 32. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambage and desire conditions of peace. He's wanting to make peace instead of war now. Because he is so outnumbered. 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Have you gave your all to the Lord Jesus? And are you willing to give yourself completely to him and all that you have. Because that's exactly what he's telling you here. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. God's word, not mine. His. In fact, that is the word of Jesus. 34 and 35, and we will close with these last two verses. 34. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost his savor, or his flavor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? 35. It is neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. But you see, that is why you and I need the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Because he gives us the ears to hear these things and the knowledge to be able to use it. Remember now that come 10 in the morning, we'll be back into the Word of Almighty God. And we'll be into the New Testament. And there, I'm in the book of Romans, and we're at chapter 15. This book of Romans is quite some book also. It's one of the greatest books in the Bible. It covers a lot of things. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word this evening, we thank you for it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the times that we can come together with this word to share with others, even though they may not be present here with me, that we talk to them through the internet, through YouTube, Blog Talk Radio. But Father, help us to reach more with the truth of your word. And Father, we pray for those that are sick. Let them understand that there is healing for them. Because by the Lord's stripes, we are healed. That healing was given 2,000 years ago. Jesus took it to the cross with him. Now, Father, help us to help others with the knowledge of the truth and not hearsay or things from the past that is hearsay, but always the truth of this your word. And help us, Father, to share with each and every one that we can come in contact with. And always, Holy Spirit, work with us and help us to love all of mankind those that are walking in darkness, as well as those that are the children of God. Because those that are walking in darkness, they don't need mine and your judgment. They need the knowledge that the Holy Spirit has given us and the experience that we have to help them along the way to grow. Point of knowing that they need something better, something more powerful than themselves, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives, and that they will change, go to Him, and repent and be forgiven for their sins and get on that pathway of righteousness. Find them a church that is teaching the truth of God's Word and get into the battle and begin to study and to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the Father and about the Holy Spirit. And most of all, about how to walk through this life to make heaven their home. And keep us praying for them. Now, for each one of us here in this ministry, we have family members that are walking in darkness. Holy Spirit, work with them. We don't want to see them lost, but they really don't want to listen to us. Where they, we pray, will listen to you and maybe to someone else that you could send their way to help change them and bring them all to that saving knowledge of Jesus. Father, be with us throughout the manger this evening. And as we lay down tonight, Father, let us rest in peace, wake refreshed in the morning to face a new day, to be able to help someone else. And back into your word at 10 a.m. Eastern time, Father. Now, Father, this is my prayer this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, all. Now, have a good evening and a great night. Good night, all.